I don't know, it might be in that batch you gave me. I don't know.
Yeah.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the REScreening.com podcast. I am your host, REScreening.com's own Mark Eastman, and with me, as always, is co-host extraordinaire Shane Leonard.
Hello.
And this week, we're live.
Yeah.
As always.
Right. Right.
This week, we're going to be trying to run through some movies and talk about the Critics' Choice Awards were on Sunday.
Yep.
And a fabulous show hosted by the completely bonkers TJ Miller, who I think threw everyone. I think that's his goal.
Yeah.
Is he's hosting in a giant room. I don't even know if he's like thinking about the TV audience very much. I think his real focus is I want to screw with all these stars who are sitting here and have to watch me.
Maybe.
So there was a lot of crazy stuff that happened. He's a very weird host, but it was a lot of fun. I mean, he's fun and he's wacky. And I mean, obviously, anyone who knows him or has seen him in anything knows that he's kind of a wild and crazy guy.
Yeah.
And he, you know, did not, he did not leave a lot for next year.
Right.
I mean, he
put it all out.
He wasn't saving anything.
That's awesome.
And it was wild and crazy. But the awards, I talked about this a little bit on the website. But when the nominations came out, I said, this is a really easy year to predict the nominations. And now the Golden Globes nominations came out. And I think you can see that that's true because they're mostly the same.
Yeah.
There are a few differences.
Yeah.
I think, and I could be wrong, but I think in just my own little world of my mind, I think that the Critics' Choice coming out so early and thus our nominations coming out so early influenced the Golden Globes nominations a little bit.
It could have.
And one of the main reasons that I say that is that Deadpool is nominated for Best Comedy.
Right.
And Ryan Reynolds is nominated for Best Actor in a Comedy.
Yeah.
And I don't think that happens.
Right.
Except that we did it first.
Right.
Right. Except that we, and what's interesting is that even though we have very similar categories,
yeah,
in a way, right? Because we have Best Comedy, they have Best Comedy or Musical,
right?
And they have Best Drama, and they split things up like that. But they split it up, and they have Best Drama, and then they have Best Comedy or Musical. And what they mean is Best Picture and Best Picture 2.
Right.
They don't really mean, right? Because I mean, all of the movies, if you take like the 10 or like 12 movies that would be nominated for Best Picture, they're all in their thing somewhere, right?
Right.
And ours has really made that a different thing most of the time, right? Best Comedy is like we're really trying to focus on comedy, like in a serious way.
Right.
Because when the Golden Globes come out and they have Best Comedy or Musical, there'll be movies in there and you go, that's a comedy.
Right.
La La Land, which we will talk about today, is not a funny movie. It's not exactly a comedy that you would think, what was the best comedy this year? Name the 10 best comedies.
Right.
La La Land would not come up. It's not a funny movie.
Right.
But for purposes of the Golden Globes, for whatever reason, it's a comedy.
Yep.
So, you know, whatever. And the Critics' Choice, we have best action movie and best comedy. And historically, anyway, we are really focusing a lot more on comedy. So if Deadpool gets nominated for our best comedy, that's not anything that is going to change the world, right? That's the idea.
Yeah.
To get it nominated in their best comedy or to get him nominated as best actor in a comedy is kooky stuff.
And
that's just my own feeling. It could be totally untrue, but I don't think that happens this year, that Deadpool – or Ryan Reynolds gets nominated for you know, being such a crazy, wacky thing it is.
Right.
If you go back and look at all the Golden Globe nominations through the years for Best Comedy, none of them are you know, like Kevin Hart movies getting nominated because it's hysterical or, you know, whatever, things like that. So there's that. And then as far as movies this week, we are going to hit La La Land since it just won best picture for the Critics' Choice.
Oh my God.
It already happened. I can't spoil it.
Whatever.
We're going to also do A Monster Calls, Hell or High Water, and possibly other things, but we're going to go through the Critics' Choice some too.
Right.
So that's,
we may not have enough time to hit all those, but we'll definitely do La La Land.
Right. It's going
it's
going to be tricky, but we have to get through a lot of stuff. And next week, obviously we're going to be doing Rogue One.
Right.
And, maybe even, something else that comes
that
out
Christmas
next week.
Bastard too.
But, yeah.
God, that's funny.
Yeah. That'll be a good one.
Yeah.
But, we will also be having to throw out several things and we're going to be trying to, get to things in order of either they come out that week or they won a lot of stuff.
Right.
So we will be trying to hit like Fences and Jackie and things that won movies, won awards next week. And then we just got to get through everything.
Push,
and in last minute moves, some of these movies are not coming out when we thought they were.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Movies are getting moved around a lot. It's even to the extent of A Monster Calls was supposed to come out in a bigger way on Christmas. And now there are several movies that were all going to come out wide on Christmas.
Right.
And now the vast majority of them are like they're coming out in New York or L.A., maybe just New York.
Right.
On Christmas Day.
Yeah.
It's a whole different ball game all of a sudden. And then they are coming out wide, you know, like early, mid-January, whatever. They're not really coming out wide this year in the technical sense of.
Yeah.
They're just hitting like one show in New York so that they officially count know, whatever. I mean,
love that.
So it's crazy.
That's
so annoying. There are several movies that are in that category now. So even though you're going to hear everyone talking about them and people have to cover them and the whole nine yards there, don't expect to see them until January
at all.
So, and you know, I'm a little, I don't know. I'm a little thrown. I wonder if we should just do La La Land.
You want to do that first and
then come back to the Critics' Choice.
Let's do that. We can get that. Cause that will determine, you know, a little bit better.
Because, you know, it's not really a spoiler to say that, La La Land won.
Right.
Right. But as I was saying, on the, now that the Gold Globes are out, and as I said on the website, when I was going through the winners, when the nominations came out, I said, this is a really easy year to predict the nominations. That makes it a hard year to predict the winners.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know what's going to get nominated because here are the really, really good things. But this was a year where there are a lot of movies that people are talking about.
Right.
There's a lot of, you know, there are a lot of acting roles that people are talking about.
Yeah.
So you know they're going to get nominated. But then once you get to who's got to win, it's tougher.
It's a lot harder.
It's hard. There's no one, even with La La Land winning. I still don't think that has locked it into winning anything else because there are too many other movies that people are talking about.
Yeah. Are you at a place where you're going to say you voted for this movie or not?
I did. Yeah. I did vote for this for Best Picture.
That's cool.
Yeah.
All right. So it's pretty, this is another spoiler alert for your review.
Right.
What your rating is.
It's like a four.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, actually, I think what we'll do though, as I said, we'll just do La La Land real quick.
That's
we'll
cool.
see how fast we can get through that. And then we'll go through the awards only to a certain extent, right? We're not going
to
spend a whole lot of time. We'll tell you who the winners are, but we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on it, except, to the extent that there are certain things that won awards that I'm not all that happy about, right? Like, you know, like Andrew Garfield won Best Actor in an Action Movie, which I think is
laughable,
a little bit nonsensical, and it won Best Action Movie. So I'm sure Mel Gibson was not looking for Best Action Movie as the big thing he was going to win,
right?
But he shouldn't have even won that. It's it's not the best action movie. It's not the best movie, and it's certainly not the best action movie.
Right.
It's got it's the longest action in a movie, maybe, if you count sure. that hour long battle
yeah,
scene.
Let's do that instead.
Yeah, that it could win. But anyway, so La La Land, we'll jump into that. Everyone knows what it is, I'm going to say, so I'm not going to like really run through it. It's Ryan Gosling, Emma Stone. It's a musical, and it's the torturous love affair that they have, and it's full of fun and hopes and dreams and moving to LA, and you know, hilarity ensues.
Right.
And I give it a 10.
That's pretty easy.
Which is not really a surprise, since I just said I voted right. for it for Best Picture. It would be a little weird if I said 8.5.
Yeah.
The best movie this year was 8.5, so everything right. else is screwed. Right.
I had you down for 9.5, but once you said you'd voted for it, I was like, that's pretty solid. But
you, on the other hand, gave it like a 6.
You know what's really funny? This is there's a little bit of explanation here, not much, and it's not a defense of anything. We all have our like dead zones. For you, horror films don't interest you barely at all, nor do war films. You know, you're not a guy that's like, I need to see Hacksaw Ridge today,
right?
Because I need to see more explosions and saluting.
Right.
Musicals are hard for me. They're a real weird spot for me, and I feel like I almost feel like musicals are either tens or ones.
Right.
Because I'm such a hard sell for it, not because I'm a jazz pianist and I've done musical theater. You know, I'm not so into it. I'm waffling between 8.5 and 9. I think probably when I saw it, I felt 8.5, and I think now I feel a little bit sweeter on it, but not much. But I don't like, there were some things about it that just didn't work for me, and they're not major things. They're very minor things. 'Cause I found it to be surprisingly charming and not saccharine at all. Like
right.
this kind of film in somebody else's hands would have been so panderingly sweet and nostalgic. It would have just been a bigger budgeted Hallmark movie,
right,
you know,
right.
a Hallmark channel movie. And I didn't find this at all. I found that it took some risks in certain places, and Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone were, I mean, just about perfect
yeah.
in it.
And not only that, but Ryan Gosling, like I like Emma Stone, and she was good in it, and and people are talking,
he's great.
People are talking mostly about her.
I know. And I feel the opposite
in this movie. And I do too.
I feel totally opposite.
I feel the opposite. I feel like she was really good.
Yeah. She didn't do a bad.
I liked her.
Yeah.
Even though I already liked him.
Right.
And already thought he was really good. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of points in this movie where I'm watching the movie and I would just go, shut up.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can think of 50 of them. In a lot of ways, his their last scene, not the thing that closes the movie, but the scene that sets up the closing of the movie, almost nailed
right.
it to me to being almost a 10 because of him.
Right,
and the
right.
subtleties that he has. But you know what, man? I got to tell you, in all honesty, aside from the last song that they do, one of my problems with the whole thing is I don't remember liking any of the songs in the film, and I don't remember any of the songs in the film. I remember the theatricalness of it. Like, I remember when they're looking out at the view and they're singing about the view, what a view, and they're dancing. I remember the dancing. I just saw this a couple days ago. I don't remember any tunes from it at
right.
all, and I feel like as a musical –
And that's
pretty important.
And we will spoil the fact now
sure.
That City of Stars from this
right.
movie
did win yeah.
Best Song.
Yeah.
Even up against another song from the same movie.
But also in some way, I have to say that if I stand with my 8.5, and I'll do that just because that was my first
just for
reaction
fun.
To it. I feel like an 8.5 is a 10. For me, like, it's almost like saying that was pretty good musical.
Right.
You're saying to someone who likes musicals or appreciates them in a way, that's a stellar thing.
Right.
You, you know,
it's like when I really liked Witch
right.
this year.
And when you told me that, I went, I gotta see this.
I really liked Witch.
Yeah.
And
you're a hard sell.
And yeah. And I'm like, you know, is it going to be on my best of the year list? I don't know, because that's that's just what it is.
Yeah.
But it's not, as we say all the time, pick all your tens and that's your that's your top 10 list, right?
Yeah.
But now, before we, I guess, go more into the movie, I have to say, just building off of, because you mentioned it, I feel like the fact that I'm not in love with any of these songs is actually a positive for this movie.
All right, explain this. Because I respect that, and I almost I was almost going to go that way, but then I thought, I need to remember these.
So in a lot of musicals, I would say that's not the thing, right?
Right.
If you're talking about, like, My Fair Lady or The Sound of Music or stuff
the
like
heavy,
that, their point is really to be about the songs and the musicalness of it and the musicality of it or whatever.
Right. The whole
and
theatricalness of it.
And when they do a song, right? When movies that are musicals like that do a song, it's almost like cut, now start the musical number.
Right.
It's like we're not exactly in the movie anymore, right? It's like now we're doing the musical production, right?
Yep.
And in this movie, when they do the songs, it's a different thing, right? It's just that there's a song, but it's not really like, with the one exception of when they do the song and they're looking out over the skyline and then they start kind of dancing around and everything. That one is sort of like that. But the songs are like, this movie is not about even the fact that it's a musical,
right?
You know, the movie is about, a very specific part of, you know, being a person and being in love and stuff like that. And the whole movie, the reason this movie, I will say, was probably like a 9 for like a long time.
Right.
And I really liked it. I thought it was really cool and it was different. And the main thing for me was I believed most of the stuff that was happening, because in a musical, if you take like 100 musicals, in 99 of them, I won't believe anything that's happening. That's not what they're about,
right?
They're not about believability, right?
Right.
And this one, I really liked the movie. It was almost like accidentally a musical.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a story, but then they were like, it was just a regular movie. And they said, but it's about music, so let's have some songs and sing and make it musical, right? So anyway, going along this movie, it was like a 9. And then it ended, and then it was like a 12.
Yeah.
Because the ending is the whole point of the movie.
It is.
And the whole movie only exists to set you up for what it means to have this ending, to have this part of your life and this existence and this relationship with another person, and then have this ending, and then have these two people basically look at each other for like 1 minute and go, fuck. And like that's... And that's the whole thing. And so for me in that movie, you know, when they were singing the songs, I was there with them singing the songs. But it's sort of like if there was a movie that, like, this is a movie about jazz. So if there's some other movie that's like really about jazz, but it's not really a musical, but sometimes they play jazz in the movie.
Right.
I wouldn't expect to, for the next couple of weeks, be like strumming tables,
catchy.
The piano notes or something like that. Like that jazz song with no vocals is going to be stuck in my head.
Right.
And I felt like that was the same thing
that's
here.
Cool.
Like, that's not what they were doing. And if, cause I kind of thought about that too, when I'm had to vote for best song, right? I'm like, can it be best song when I don't particularly need to hear it again, or when it's not something that's stuck in my mind?
Yeah.
See, it's
all
like,
right. That's very up to you.
It, like if you have City of Stars in this movie and the only other nominee was the Justin Timberlake song from Trolls, which was also a nominee,
right?
If it was just those two nominees, there isn't a chance in hell that I would vote for the Justin Timberlake song because frankly, it's not a good song.
Right.
It's a catchy song.
Right.
It's a song that comes on the radio and you're like, yeah, okay, this song, you know,
right.
Does that make it a good song? It's not a good song.
Right.
I don't think, I mean, obviously millions of people, but in another interesting note from the Critics' Choice Awards, Justin Timberlake presented an award and as he was walking out, they start playing that song.
Yeah.
And he gets up to the mic and he goes, turn off that song.
Oh, yeah, right. So he, you know, that's paycheck tunes. So.
Right. He's like, I don't want to hear that song anymore.
I think maybe in part of where I come to musicals anyway, like I don't drag my feet, but I was pretty close. Though I know La La Land is killing reviews and everyone's always paying it so much, in accolades. The first scene of the film is a traffic jam in Los Angeles and people, you know, they're honking their horns and then there's a rhythm to it and then there's not. And then a very like, if anyone's ever seen
and
Stomp the,
and then this gigantic
like
dance
everyone
number
everyone just
takes
gets out
over,
of the car.
Yeah.
One person creates a domino effect and everyone is out of their cars and they're all dancing in synchronicity, which is what you're supposed to do if the world was really a musical,
sure.
You know? And I'm watching that and I'm going,
I like
the technical aspect of this because it looks like they really stopped traffic for this.
Right.
And it's I get how fun this is. There's a certain person who sits in a seat in a theater with their popcorn and they're ready. And when that starts, they just shoveling popcorn in their face. They're so excited.
They're like, hooray.
I almost got up to put in a different, you know, movie because I'm like, this is not the mood I'm in.
Right.
And I worried because that actually, strangely to anyone out there who might be like me, that sets both the tone of the film that you do get, but also it's totally not the movie.
It's absolutely not that movie.
It's almost like the strangest Tom Ford
beginning.
And
I loved that.
And I loved it too. Give me 5 minutes after.
I loved that that happened in the beginning.
Yep, me too.
And scared the crap out of me.
Me too.
And then, like
exactly.
15 minutes later, I'm still going, okay, am I sure it's not that movie?
Right.
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 You
this is exactly
you just
how I
keep
felt.
Sitting there going,
when,
it's a song is going to start and they're going to start that shit all over.
Again. When,
right.
when Gosling's sister just moments later comes into his apartment and they're squabbling and they're having a great scene together, I actually was still thinking about the opening,
right.
Even though I wasn't wild about it. And I thought, like Anna Karenina, like at any moment now, the sets are going to start pulling apart.
Right, exactly.
People are going to start dancing in. And I'm like,
And then it throws you.
And it becomes better because it refuses to go that route when it's so easy to do.
Right.
And again, I'm pretty, as a strange aside, before I get back to the musical number, I'm getting really interested in this writer and the director because he did Whiplash, which was really
exactly,
powerful.
Yeah.
And he's very interesting when he's telling these stories about the musical stuff that he knows about, and he's making characters who might seem very easy to, I don't want to say overlook, but just paint with a big, broad character.
Right.
Really interesting. I mean,
and he is such a like student,
kind of
new film.
To this. Like, right.
He's
been doing this for a while, but
he's
young.
He does not have a lot. If you look him up on IMDb, he's got a lot of shorts.
And he's done a few
he's
writing
stuff
things.
Like
he
that.
Wrote 10
right.
Cloverfield Lane.
Right.
Or he
right.
co-wrote it. And I was looking at that and I went, you know what? That's a little surprising, but I see parts of this. And you know, when I saw that credit, I thought, I'll be damned if music wasn't important in that film too.
Right.
Like this guy, he's working on all kinds of fun levels. But before I get too far away from the song bit, I understand what you're saying and I agree to it. I agree with it. I just feel like because I come to musicals in this way, if you're going to break the narrative, you're not actually breaking the narrative. If you're going to change the method of delivering the narrative to doing a song, there should be a purpose that just talking in dialogue or scenes doesn't deliver. And I didn't feel like, with the exception of them looking out at the sea, out at the cityscape.
Right.
I felt like that was actually kind of like, we ought to be dancing here because we're after this party. And that was a great scene. And it really set up everything wonderfully. But everything else, I'm like, you don't need to sing this. You can
right.
just tell me this.
See,
and when that happens, I think, okay, now you're doing it because you just love musicals. But you got to make those songs memorable to me.
I think that's both true and not true. Just like I was saying about
right.
different kinds of musicals, because if you go back to any,
right.
if you ask anyone to list the 5 biggest musicals in the history of the world,
right.
all of those movies that they mention, none of them need to sing anything in any of those
the
movies.
The kids in
They're,
Annie,
that,
they don't
that
have
is,
to sing.
That is cool. not right. That's
and, but you get more out of it because of this. And I get it. But that song, I never forgot.
Right, right.
I'm torn. And in the end, when I'm torn, I go, I don't remember the song.
Yeah, see,
so I'm kinda
like
going
I think I can
it.
Understand that. And I bet you there are going to be a lot of people who see this movie who feel the same way.
Yeah.
They're like, I don't need to run out and buy the soundtrack.
Right.
Because I don't care.
Right.
And so therefore the musical movie must not be that good.
And
also there are people who are going to see that opening.
Right.
And then watch the rest of the movie and go, what?
Yeah.
But I want that movie.
I want
that
movie.
You were doing at the beginning. Yeah.
And I got to tell you, it's not fair. I saw someone talking about like how this and the last musical they saw, which I think strangely the last musical I saw, which is Rock of Ages.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfair because Rock of Ages songs are built upon constant radio airplay. Like when you hear someone playing Def Leppard in a musical, that's a cheat.
Right.
Love that song anyway.
Right.
You know, so I don't want to hear that. But as a standalone, you know, it's a small pittance to really be there, but it is kind of focusing on that aspect. And to give it credit though, when you're talking about like Love in Los Angeles, which is just, you know, that's fodder for every film or
right.
play, you kind of get like this Singing in the Rain vibe from them, even though they are contemporarily set. This isn't, when I first saw the spot for La La Land, I thought it was like 20s or 30s or, you know,
right.
like it was old time Los Angeles, and it's not.
And it's got, if you were at all confused about that, it's got the cinematography
right.
of movies
of
that
it,
are,
then.
Yeah, of
and
other,
got,
it's not even really the 20s.
No.
That it's
no,
showing you what
right.
it's showing you frequently is movies in like the 70s that were in the 20s.
Right. And even a nostalgic contemporary imagination of what we think that time.
Right.
Like.
Right.
You know, and it's great when you're, cause I was watching it. There was probably many signals there. But I just remember when they're all at this party and she's like, "Will you get my keys?" And he's like, "Which one?" She goes, "It's the Prius."
Right.
And he looks and they're all Priuses. And I'm like, "Oh yeah, this is like today."
That doesn't help
you
me.
Know? Right. And he's just like that. That doesn't work. So,
yeah.
You know, I'll be damned if the battle here isn't to bring the film down. It's just to justify, like, it,
right.
I really loved it. I don't love musicals. I had a lot of fun with it. But it just didn't have everything there for me to be the 10.
Right.
But I easily understand, not why you, I understand why anyone would be like, that's the best film I'm going to see this year. And I'd be like, yeah, I can get behind that.
And I'll tell you, as far as the music goes, I'm just going to try to defend the music.
Yeah.
Even more. Here's my other defense that I can throw out for this one. And that is that most of the songs that are in this are obviously he's a jazz musician and he's in love with jazz.
Yeah.
And there's lots of talking about jazz and the whole thing. Right. And the songs are jazz.
Yeah.
Are like
right.
jazzy.
Sure.
So, what are the other four jazz songs this year that really caught your attention and sucked you in and you liked them at all? None.
Well, okay.
I'm people who go see this movie who are fans of jazz
right.
are going to walk out of it and go, those are awesome songs.
Right.
And I'll be
right.
thinking about them all week and stuff like that. It,
yep.
it doesn't have like pop songs in
right.
it. It doesn't have songs that, jazz is not a kind of music where the idea is that you'll hear a song and they'll be stuck in your head for
right.
weeks. That's just not
it's
what jazz is, right?
It's supposed to be in the moment is what it is.
Right. So, right. so that's my other defense
well,
is that they're jazz songs. So they're not that kind of song.
I'm
going to really hit you like
I got to call you out for the most small thing on that. I get it. I agree with you when they're in the jazz clubs or when he's playing. Yeah. But they have scenes where they're singing to each other and singing to others and dancing and talk like, those
right.
aren't supposed to be jazz. Those are supposed to be show tunes. Like,
well,
those are supposed to be musical
of,
numbers.
Kind of.
And as a musical number, I just it's not there for me. You know? But anyway.
Anyway, that's
it's
that,
good to
it's
hear
also
that.
It's also not the only thing going on in this movie. Anyway,
like
I said, it's kind of accidentally a musical.
Is.
It's a really cool story.
Yeah.
And there's no movie whether you a variety of people might want to argue for any of the other nominees
yeah.
as being the best movie. Some of those movies, I will say like not Ebert, but Siskel.
You're going to keep swinging at that guy, aren't you?
No, Gene Siskel used to say, you know, he very famously
right.
said, like, if you think this is the best movie, I just get to say you're wrong. Right.
Right.
Even if it's like subjective, objective,
sure.
you know,
yeah.
blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And there are movies that were nominated for Best Picture that if you think that's the best picture, I think I get to say you're wrong.
Right.
It's just not compared to other things.
Right.
On the other hand, there are movies, you know, I hate lists and ordering things, right?
Oh, we're getting there.
Because if I have to put, you know, an animated movie up against, you know, a war movie or something and go, which is the best movie? I'm like, like
I'm all ready to do
what
that.
What the hell does that mean? Yeah. Right. But anyway, if you're, there are lots of people who are going to, I'll say, like, legitimately argue that other nominees should have won. And we'll continue to have that argument through the Golden Globes and the Oscars and everything.
Yeah.
And a lot of them, I would say, yeah, that's fine. But whatever is, however we try to get best, right?
Right.
There was no movie this year that at the end of it made me be in love with movies again, like this movie did. When I was done watching this, I was like, oh, make that all the time. Even if it's, even if it's not anything like this movie, right? It could be like Whiplash, right? But try to do the thing that you were trying to do when you made this movie, like all the time. I want every movie to do that. The way that the writer director was involved in trying to do something by making this movie.
Yeah.
I want every movie to do that. And that has to put you up a notch on a lot of other movies that come out.
Absolutely. There's so much here that, that I enjoyed, and the absolute minimum. I mean, if, truly, if I had to think about the things I didn't like, which most of them later were like the opening scene. Like, I didn't like it when I saw it only because it made me nervous. The next 2 hours of my life are going to be spent with this.
And that's why you have to have it.
And I agree.
And that's
and
why
then,
it's great.
I loved it. But I think truly, I really am trying. I mean, I thought about this a while and I couldn't come up with anything. So then all I'm doing is fishing. Like, if it's not inherent to me,
now I'm looking
for a reason to knock it down. There were a couple things about Emma Stone in scenes I thought that she wasn't bad. She just wasn't strong.
Right.
And that's okay. Every scene with Ryan Gosling I thought was strong. And all the things that he was doing, the small throwaway things, the minutia things, the glances and the mannerisms were magnified.
And the lines sometimes, especially by him, but by both of them, that almost felt like there's a certain amount of this movie that was improv.
Right. It felt that way.
And maybe it wasn't.
Who knows?
But it seemed like it, right?
But how natural it is. It works so well. It's so much fun. It's so endearing. It's so charming. It's so engaging. That if the only negative I have is that the musical numbers, though they're not just like three. I mean, there were many.
Right.
You know,
right.
If those weren't memorable, then all I'm doing is grading it as a movie critic and not as a fan of films. Because when I got done with it, I felt like you. I mean, it wasn't even done with it. I was 20 minutes in, 30 minutes in.
Right,
like,
right.
Please don't screw this up.
Right.
You got something.
That's
good.
The other thing is,
this,
that's
know?
The other thing about the movie is, it wasn't like 20 minutes for me, but maybe a little bit past halfway.
Yeah.
I was like, if this turns out to be one of those movies where we had this like idea, but we don't actually know how to end it or why we're doing it or whatever, then I'm already getting nervous about the movie.
Right.
And then turns out that the ending for me anyway is the best part.
It's great.
Even.
It's really great. And it's just so much fun to watch them do what they're doing and how they're doing it that it, you know, it's one of the year's best. It's easily one of the year's best.
This is a movie, I think, that not, you know, that we necessarily need to talk about it. But if you have, when you have movies, and, you know, we talk frequently about how we rate things and why, and always encourage people to go back to our episode where we talked about just that, right?
Yeah.
But when you get to the point where it's like 9 versus 10, right? You're in a tricky area. If we have movies that we rate like 6 versus 7, right? I could tell you exactly why. This is exactly a 7 and not a 6 for exactly this reason. Or this is a 5 versus being a 6 or whatever, and here's exactly why. But when it's like 9 versus 10, it's kind of like,
all right.
Because I liked it more or whatever. I mean, it's really hard.
I think it's funny. In the days since I've seen La La Land, I've thought more about Ryan Gosling and the things that he did in that than anybody or anything else, with the exception of maybe the director and thinking like, man, I should maybe watch Whiplash again. And I can't wait to see what he's got coming up in 2017, if anything. But I don't really reflect strongly on Emma Stone. I mean, I remember her as a foil in some scenes, though she doesn't serve as a foil in any. She is the co-star of the film.
Right.
But I don't think of her or anything she did in that whole film unless it had to do with or affected by Ryan Gosling. I think I might have said Ryan Reynolds.
Okay, well, I will say I liked Emma Stone, and as we said before, we are on the opposite of most people.
Right.
Because a lot of people are talking more about her than him.
Yeah.
And I will say that I think what is happening there is that a lot of people really love all of the scenes where she's, you know, going
auditioning
for stuff.
Yeah.
And her, and I thought those were really good.
I did too.
It's not that there's anything wrong with them. They were really good. But I think that for a lot of people who are talking more about her, those are just hitting them to like one more level than they are me.
Right.
They are really good, but I didn't think they were, you know, the most fantastic thing ever. If I was gonna pick, you know, three scenes of here is someone doing really impressive acting, for me, they wouldn't be those scenes.
Right.
Even though they are really good, right?
Yeah.
They're good, and she's really good in them.
Yep.
And there are a lot of things. I think those scenes give you a really good example of what I love about everything about the movie, and that is when she's walking out of one audition and walks past all the redheads and gets on the elevator and stands there with the other redheads, and she doesn't say anything.
Yep.
She doesn't do anything, really. She just walks and has, you know, an expression and looks around.
Yep.
She doesn't, and it's awesome. It's
great.
Really, really good. And that is for me a really solid example of everything that I liked about the movie. Everything that's really good is just like that. It's just being so that person in that spot.
Yeah.
That super impressive.
You know, watching that, and like you said that everything, you know, she doesn't say anything. She's not crying. She's not laughing. She's not emoting, but she is.
Right.
And you look at that and you're like, she's done.
Yeah.
Like, I know everything that's happening. I know all the thoughts she's having. I know all the things she wants to scream and say and cry out and just laugh about. You know, I know everything she's doing and I don't have to hear it.
Right.
You know, it's working. There's a certain amount of affection for a film that can make me love the sound of a car horn. You know, the car horn is actually an expression, and when you hear it, you get, you know, tingled or giggly. You're like, oh man, and like that's, you know, and I guess technically that's a note.
That's trying to do something with a movie in a way that most people just ignore.
This is what I was gonna say. Like to set that up early on, it's in the first scene, you know, and to set it up to carry over a couple times, they doesn't overplay it. It's almost like the perfect
note.
And then when to bring it out, how long to let it last. Like it's perfect.
And then it gets in way at the end where he
one more time
finds her.
Yep.
And
I love
and
it.
Doesn't go to the door.
Right.
He just honks the horn, and he has a good excuse for doing it. They like actually build that makes sense.
Because otherwise, it would just be a cheap, easy knockoff.
Right.
You know? And I looked at that and I went, I think this movie just got half a star, if not a whole star, for this friggin' use of a car horn.
Right.
Like that's such a weird superlative, but it's just such a surprisingly skillfully done film that now makes this guy like, you know, the guy that I loved for doing Prisoners and Arrival. Like, as soon as I start seeing his work repeat and
very
interesting and strong, now I'm just dialed into whatever he does next. I don't care if it's a musical or not. I want to see it.
Right.
And I'm actually now going to look up, see what he's got coming up.
I don't know that he has anything locked in right now.
And actually, sucks.
If you look him up on IMDb,
Damien Chazelle.
I mean, he's gold for whatever he wants to do, but I'm not sure that he's completely committed to anything now.
There are two things. There's a screenplay that he may not be directing, and it just says the claim. And IMDb has the next upcoming project called the Untitled Damien Chazelle Project.
Right.
So that means
that doesn't tell you anything
except that
a studio gave him a bunch of money already.
Right. To be honest, with all the awards and all the, you know, the positive feedback that this is getting, and hopefully the box office gets behind it too, because I think this is something that a lot of people, especially fans of our show, if I can paint them with a very broad brush, I think you guys will like it.
Right.
We'll see this.
Right.
I mean, he could be doing the next Star Wars movie, you know, it's not going to be that way, but you know, he could pretty much,
but you'd want to see it.
I would want to see it.
If he did,
he can pretty much write whatever he wants at this point to
do
for his next film. And I don't mean that because he's a screenwriter.
Right.
I mean, he's got an empty check now, I think.
Yeah, he's good to go.
Every once in a while, a film is so well regarded,
especially
and
since,
given, and then they don't do anything.
Especially since, as we segue into covering the Critics'
right,
Choice,
Critics'
he won director
yeah,
too.
Yeah,
and he won director against a lot
names.
Of a lot of people that
yeah.
You might want to win.
Did you vote for him?
I did.
I'm not
going to
put you on the spotlight.
Yeah, no,
I
did actually.
Curious as to how close that. Came.
I did actually because whether there are movies that, you know, I could take two or three movies and say on a different day I might vote for that movie,
right?
Because
right.
there were good movies, right? Right? There were a lot of good movies, but this for me was. If there's any difference to be had between being the best movie and being the best directed movie,
mm-hmm.
this is the best directed movie
right.
that I saw. I think
yeah, these are,
almost
these are
almost without question. And the other thing is you just mentioned like Arrival.
Right.
But I don't know that I was as fantastically impressed
right.
with how that movie was directed versus his last two movies.
Right.
Which I totally was
sure.
and thought
right.
these are awesomely directed
yeah.
movies. Arrival was like a little, it was almost like it was too big. It had like too many parts
mm-hmm.
and there was too much of it that had to go a certain way. And I, you know, it didn't stand out for me as the best directed movie.
Right.
It stands out as something that I would say, well, I want him to direct my movie because that was
right.
really
that was
good,
really good.
Right.
Yeah.
But
it right.
for me, this one was just better,
right.
better directed.
Right. Yeah.
And
yeah, that's a good, I mean, that's a good segue into talking about the Critics' Choice stuff if we want.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know if there's anything more we can say about La La Land. Even
no,
you mean it
everyone's
being
everyone's
like
good,
nine,
and I
you know.
Should I should say just for I guess, you know, I don't know. Total disclosure, I'm not like a huge musical fan either.
You're really not.
I there are certain musicals that I like a lot.
You know what your favorite musical is? Just out of, I mean, I know that.
Well, apart from this, I mean.
Well, yeah. Well, you've said that this isn't really a musical. So.
Right. I like a lot of the old classic
yeah.
musicals, like My Fair Lady, especially.
Yeah.
And, you know, I like a lot of musicals that have come out, especially in the last like 10 or 12 years, because I think people are trying to be a little bit different than
yeah.
just going, let's make something exactly in the mold of like
right.
the Sound of Music and
right.
it'll look the same.
Right.
But I'm not like a huge fan, and like you, when I don't like them, I hate that movie.
It's
like
all, it's
like
all
Chicago.
Right.
I hated Chicago.
Yeah,
and there was a yeah. there was a lot of fun to be had in Chicago, and a lot of people liked it, obviously. But you know, I walked out of there and almost got divorced, frankly, because my wife loved it.
Story.
Right?
Come on, this is the tale.
No, just my wife loved it, and you know, so I go to a movie with her. She's going to ask.
You didn't
what
even get
happened.
To the car, did you? You guys were really. You,
yeah, we walked out.
Curb.
We walked out, and she's like, "So how'd you like that?" And you know, I didn't read the room right. And I said, "That sucked. I hated it."
Right.
And
yeah.
that
you
then
know
it was on right.
Yeah.
But I'm not like, oh, yay, another musical. And so that'll be awesome. Right. Like I didn't go in this like it already had
yeah.
5 stars before
right.
it started because it's a musical
right.
or whatever.
Exactly.
I mean, I like some musicals, but I'm probably like pretty close to you. In
yeah.
the
you got a
general
stars.
Screen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So anyway, yeah, there isn't much else to say, and we spent too much time on it already anyway, but
yeah.
both of them all are right. great. Everything about it is great, and
yeah.
it is really, there are parts of it, what I love about it probably the most in terms of just the whole thing,
yeah.
like trying to look at the whole thing, is that it does a lot of different kinds of things, and it actually manages to make them meld together.
Right.
In a good way. You know, it does stuff that's like kind of old school musicals.
Yep.
And it does stuff that's, you know, it does stuff that no one's done before. It
yeah.
it does all kinds of different trying to be sort of different ways of looking at this movie and these people. And it makes them all work instead of just going like one route. And
right.
we know where everything's going to go and we know what's going to happen. I mean,
right.
we, I guess, know a general idea, but I was actually kind of surprised the closer we got to the end I was kind of surprised by what the characters did. And it made total sense that they did it. It wasn't like, nah, he wouldn't do that.
Right. You're doing that only just to get a conflict.
Right. It's just that I didn't think that's where it was going. Yeah. Like, I didn't think it was, or at least not to that degree or, you know, whatever.
And to be honest, the direction that it took in the last 25 minutes probably gave it two and a half stars. You know, I act like I sit there and I just like, oh, that's a star.
Right.
You know, but really for that decision alone, because it is kind of a boy meets girl story, the way that they go and how they go about it, instead of going overloaded on either end of the spectrum of getting it to there, I was just like, get out of here. Like, you're entertaining me and now you're going for my heart. Like, you bastard. Like,
this is really
tough.
And then it jumps around to his love of jazz and she doesn't really like jazz. And then they're sitting there at that one point listening to it. And then he starts talking about what's happening when they're up there playing.
Yeah.
That's like a very different movie than like the movie we're in 20 minutes later. Yeah. And yet it's still all together.
At the end of this, if you know, this is not a true spoiler, but without trying to sound overly dramatic, like that glance he gives her at the end when he introduces things, that's haunting.
Right.
And that's stuck with me. I think about that at least several times a day since I've seen it.
Right.
Just his ability to do that. When you're the director and you're sitting there and you're the cinematographer and you see that, you must get chills going, holy shit, Prince.
Like,
that,
he actually
that
did
amazing.
That. Right.
Did you see that? Because I don't believe anyone taught him that. I think he just was like, this is what I would do, and this is what this character would do. And you are so painstakingly aching for him and cheering for him and all these things all at once. And I'm like, that's untouchable.
Right.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And in the movie alone is worth just that scene, but the movie's full of scenes just like that. So I can't talk, you know, again, 9, but still, 9 for me is probably 11 for any other musical fan.
Right. There are people, I'll just throw this out before we jump to the critic's choice and run through those.
Yeah.
Not that we haven't sung the praises of this movie enough, but there are people, and quite a few of them, I think, out there who will watch this movie and then for a very long time will watch no other movie.
Mm-hmm.
They will just keep watching this movie over and over.
I can't even, you know, we throw this out real quick. You know, I never saw a trailer for this. I don't know if this is.
Oh, I saw some trailers for it.
I know people like that. I don't know if the trailer is indicative of the film you actually get or not.
Yeah, the trailer is pretty good.
But, you know, okay. It's really strange. I only saw this based on the buzz that it was
getting. The only thing that I think could possibly kind of a trick about the trailer is you may go into it thinking that you're getting something a lot closer to the first couple of minutes than you actually end up getting. But
yeah, stick with it.
But I don't know that anyone will complain too much about
that,
shouldn't. Hopefully.
Yeah, you know.
Anyway, all right. So we're just going to run quickly through the winners for the Critics' Choice Awards.
The top stuff, right?
Best Picture, we already said, is La La Land.
Right.
Obviously, I voted for that. Best Actor is Casey Affleck in Manchester by the Sea.
You vote for that? You're going to say who you voted for?
I did vote for that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say everything that I did or didn't vote for.
You
but
coward.
But I will say this. Casey Affleck right there was up against some stuff, too.
Yeah.
And he's one of the ones where I thought, I, in voting, thought he should win this.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think he was going to, though.
Right, he should.
If I had to vote and then predict, they would not have been
the
same.
They're not always the same.
He's up against too many people in this. He's up against Tom Hanks and Denzel Washington.
And Ryan Gosling, talked about.
And I would not have been surprised to see Ryan Gosling actually get it because everyone's talking about La La Land. So, I mean, it was like stiff competition. This is one of those years, like I said, it's easy to get the nominees.
Right.
But when it comes down to the voting, and it's going to be the same for this, for the Golden Globes, for the Oscars, this is going to come down to things like the guy who got like 26 is going to win because it's going to be very split. It's not going to be like somebody got 85% of the votes versus Denzel Washington and Tom Hanks and all these people.
That makes sense.
So Best Actress, you got Natalie Portman. And all I will say is that I did not vote for her. I'm not going to say who I voted for because we're not going to spend all day doing this. But I will say I did not vote for her as Best Actress. She got Best Actress in Jackie. I think she did a really good job.
Yeah.
This is just another category where she is in kind of the same boat. It's a little bit surprising that she won because she's up against some really good stuff, right?
Yeah.
Best supporting actor was Mahershala Ali for Moonlight, which I feel like everyone knew was going to happen, even though he's not who I voted for.
Right.
I voted for Lucas Hedges in Manchester by the Sea. And, you know, quite frankly, I still feel like he deserves it more.
Yeah.
I think he was insane. He did win Best Young Actor Actress, which is our own personal thing that nobody else has. Right.
Right.
And I have to say, he was still up against some pretty stiff competition, even in that category.
Yeah.
But he did win that. Best supporting actress, Viola Davis in Fences. I did not vote for her.
Yeah.
I will get in a lot of trouble or whatever, I guess. And that's another movie that we will maybe get to next week or at least very soon because it is a movie that's getting nominated for everything and all kinds of people are talking about it. I didn't love that movie in the way that a lot of people did.
That trailer made me nervous when I first saw it.
I liked the movie. Yeah. It was okay. I'm not going to like review it right now or throw all that out, but I didn't love that movie as much as everybody else. And as since you said about musicals and stuff, that's really not my kind of movie.
Yeah.
Right. There's only so much of an asshole anyone can be in a movie and I'm still going to like it.
Right.
I mean, it's just whatever. Anyway, best acting ensemble went to Moonlight. I'm pretty okay with that. Really. I think that is a tricky category and you've got to have, you have to have a sufficient number of people who have a role.
That is
one that's really hard to predict every year, except for last year when Spotlight won it.
Right.
Because you just knew that was coming. Right.
Right.
But Moonlight still, I think, good enough. Best director. We already said that went to La La Land and Damien Chazelle. Best original screenplay was, awesome. And when Casey Affleck, accepted his award, he mentioned this because as the show goes on and it's both movies and TV, not everything gets actually covered.
Right.
Some of them are just, they tell you what happened.
Right.
And he even mentioned that best original screenplay got glossed over, but he, you know, gave a shout out to the tie between Damien Chazelle in La La Land and Kenneth Lonergan in Manchester by the Sea, which you almost could predict that tie. I mean, you could never predict a tie in something like this because to actually have equal votes
is astronomically unlikely.
Right.
It's just really not going to happen.
It's completely bizarre, but both of them, you know, very deserving.
And that says something too, not just about those who are voting, but about the strength of those films that people just, there's no overwhelming push. It's what you've been saying through all the categories. It's really tough.
Right. It's a really tight race for a lot of things.
Yeah.
Best adapted screenplay went to Arrival and Eric Heisserer.
Yeah, I think that's it.
I don't really agree with. There are better people to vote for, I thought, in that particular category. That makes the Golden Globes a really weird thing because they don't have original and adapted like we and the Academy do.
Right.
They just have best screenplay.
Whatever.
So they've only got five choices out of all these screenplays, and that is going to be a tough vote. Again, that's going to make it even harder. And it's going to be, you know, then it's like, I don't even know. It's going to be like 20.5%
of the vote
or whatever. They'll have like a four-way tie.
Yeah.
Or who knows? Anyway, best cinematography also goes to La La Land. Best production design also goes to La La Land. Best editing, La La Land.
Yeah.
Okay. And I have to give them those.
I don't have a problem with any of that. Just because of who they're up against.
It certainly did. There were other good movies who were nominated in all this stuff. But, man, cinematography, La La Land, you got to at least give a lot of props to the cinematography that happens in that movie.
Yeah.
Production design was awesome. There were parts of the movie, like we said, it's not even necessarily looking like the 20s, even though it's taking place now.
Right.
And looks like it takes place now.
Yeah.
But just somehow also looks like, you know, like that neon diner poster.
Right. No, exactly.
And it's fantastic. And best editing, you know, that's one where it's hard to sell to the public who did what that was better editing until you see a movie that's really poorly edited.
Yeah.
Then you can go see.
Yeah.
But I think for most people, for your average moviegoer, all fairly decent editing looks the same.
Yeah.
as really awesome editing.
You don't see
right.
the strings, you know,
right.
cause you're not looking at it, but right.
Best costume design and best hair and makeup, which I think I already mentioned, both went to yeah. Jackie, and I didn't vote for Jackie for either of those. I thought there were better choices in both of those. Mm-hmm. Best visual effects went to The Jungle Book, which I totally did not vote for. I not only didn't vote for it, I wouldn't have even nominated it if it were up to me. I think that is a movie that ever since it came out, for me all year long, that's like the Emperor Has No Clothes movie, that it's that great. I don't think the visual effects are that great. What's interesting and people talk about is the way they did the visual effects. But when you actually look at them, I don't think it's that fantastic compared to lots of other things.
Yeah.
Compared to other movies that came out this year, to movies God. That I think did more complicated things and made it look less like they were doing complicated right. things. This movie did complicated things, and it looked like it was doing complicated things.
I forgot The Jungle Book even came out this year. I thought it was last year.
Exactly.
Seriously.
But a lot of people love that movie, and you know, a good example for me in this movie and the visual effects is Christopher Walken being the giant orangutan, whatever
yeah.
King Louie or
right.
whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That to me looked like.
I remember when you saw it and you told me this, and you're like, that guy was enormously out of proportional,
but
like,
he was, but it was almost like you just, you know, like somebody made a meme on the
right.
internet and stuck Christopher Walken's face on a giant orangutan. I mean, was it cool and did it look pretty good?
Yeah.
Sure, but I don't know. Anyway, I wasn't that impressed with the visual effects. That was a weird thing, I think, where you know that may go a different way when it's the Oscars. Because
right.
when it's the Oscars and it's visual effects, you're going to only have visual effects people voting.
Right.
And not just every critic. And for whatever reason, everyone was really impressed with this.
Yeah.
Best animated movie was Zootopia, which I did vote for. And I'm actually really glad that won, because it had a lot of competition and
yeah.
it could have gone a lot of different ways. And I still really think it was the best and should have won.
Yeah.
But man, everything had a lot of different ways to go. Action movie and actor in an action movie, we already mentioned Hacksaw Ridge and Andrew Garfield. I did not vote for. Best actress in an action movie, Margot Robbie, which I did, and I think you'd be hard pressed to tell me the story why she shouldn't win that, because I thought she was awesome in that movie.
Yeah.
And
God, that movie sucks.
Actress in an action comedy, there are only so many things.
Right.
I think she did, but I think pull out the footage of every actress in an action movie and just watch that.
Uh-huh.
And she has to win. She was good.
Yeah, she was good.
Anyway, best comedy, Deadpool. Best actor in a comedy, Ryan Reynolds in Deadpool. Best actress in a comedy, Meryl Streep in Florence Foster Jenkins, which I think not really. As I said, historically, anyway, I don't know if, you know, things change over time or whatever. Historically, this is supposed to be a little bit different of a thing,
yeah.
right? It's not supposed to be the best actress in a comedy in the way you mean that when you're the Golden Globes.
Right.
Right. And she's not funny in this movie.
Right.
So how can
it doesn't say best funny person in a film. Was she not the best actress?
But
I mean,
see, that's what
Meryl
it's supposed
Streep
to be.
Is the best actress ever, right?
She's the best actress in anything.
So if you put her in an action film and she's just a Hollywood.
Yeah,
movie,
whatever. No.
Right.
And then we have another one, which I also feel like we went the wrong way in this, right?
Yeah.
Best sci-fi / horror movie. That's a category we have. And that also historically, right, has been a very different thing. First of all, historically, it's been best sci-fi, and then we nominate a horror because we want to call it this category, and
right.
it has nothing to do with anything that
right.
we'll ever have a shot at winning.
Yeah.
But best sci-fi horror movie has historically, for us, been best sci-fi
right.
or best horror, right? Or so what happened here is you have a movie, Arrival, that's nominated for best picture, and then it's like, if it's nominated for best picture, how can it not be the best sci-fi or horror movie? Because none of these other movies are nominated for best picture. So
right.
it obviously has to be the best movie.
Right.
And I feel like that's gone completely wrong.
Right.
That's not what I voted for. And I don't think that it I don't think it's what should win in this category. It's not the best sci-fi movie this year. I don't think. It's a good sci-fi movie.
I don't know
this
that
year.
It is either, actually.
It's a good sci-fi movie this year.
Yeah.
But even just, I would give this even just to Passengers as being a better. It's not. It's just not that sci-fi a movie in
right.
some sense, right? It's
right.
not. I don't know. That could just be me. Best foreign language movie was L, which I voted for, and I was kind of surprised it won because yet again, that is a really tough category. That's
yeah.
always a much tougher category than people give it credit for,
yeah.
because it's like the best movie from every other country in the
right.
world,
yeah.
all fighting each other.
yeah.
And that's going to be tough, right? But
yeah.
L won, and I was really glad it did. Best song, City of Stars from La La Land, and best score, Justin Hurwitz, La La Land, and La La Land just rules the world.
Right.
I won't even, I won't go into the TV stuff. Although there again, it did a lot of the stuff I voted for won. I was I was pretty happy in a bunch of tough places, really. Again, there was some serious competition. Anyway, so that takes us through all of the Critics' Choice
yeah.
and gives you a good idea of movies to see, although mostly just La La Land.
Right. Right.
So go see that.
Right.
And then, as I said, the Golden Globe nominations came out, and they look pretty similar. There are a few that are different. There are some both ways, right? There are some things we nominated they didn't. There are
yeah.
some things they nominated that we didn't. There are, I'll say most of the things they nominated that we didn't, I kind of agree with them.
Yeah.
and I think they should,
right.
and I
right.
think we should have. But this is not a year with like a lot of snub talk,
right.
at least so far.
Not
unless
yet.
Something weird happens with the Oscar nominations.
Right.
This could be one of the years where you hear the least about snubs.
Maybe. Yeah.
Because
we heard about it so much last year.
Like every year. I mean, it's
yeah, I guess.
It's pretty common. Someone gets
thing.
Snubbed,
yeah,
right? Right. This year, it's everyone agreed to just have the 10 good movies.
We
save
should,
your good movies for right. another year.
We should do a podcast just called The Snubbies and give the best of who was overlooked.
We
kind of do that.
We
anyway.
Do.
We that Maybe that's what we should call it.
We have the Can't
yeah.
Win Awards.
Yeah.
But I guess being snubbed would be slightly different, right?
Yeah,
because,
right.
because you could get nominated, and that's
yeah,
the whole point,
the
is
whole
that we're
idea.
Saying you could get
right.
nominated.
Right.
And so now we have to have two of those
no,
every year?
I mean, we could make lists, but you don't like that.
All right. Yeah. So we've already gone over an hour.
Yeah. Okay.
And we only did one movie. So
it was a good movie, though.
And we kept
talking
about it.
There was a lot to say about it.
So we could do a Monster Calls, or
sure.
or we could be done.
Because I don't think we'll spend a lot of all time
right.
on Monster Calls.
All right.
Have
so
lot,
we had say. Planned to have a Monster Calls and Hell or High Water. So I don't know.
We should do one of them.
We could see if we could get through either or both of those really fast. A Monster Calls. So that is the really weird movie that no one wants to pay any attention to. Because it's not, I don't know, there's weird marketing for this movie. They're not hitting stuff.
They're really not.
Really hard. Even though it's got a giant tree monster and Liam
right.
Neeson,
yeah.
They get to say Liam Neeson's in it, even though he's just the voice of the big tree monster.
Right.
And there's something kind of indie going on in this movie. Like, it has a bit of an indie feel to it.
It feels a lot like
And
it.
For some reason, we have not devoted tons of
yeah.
marketing to it, even though it's like a kid's movie, but you better be careful what kid you bring to
yeah,
it and what age
I mean,
exactly you're
you
at
run the
because
risk of
you'll freak
the,
people out.
You might right? run the risk of making the Where the Wild Things Are mistake. You know, you're
right,
like,
right.
this is a kid's movie, but it's really just for adults who remember that book, not for kids because kids
right.
are bored or scared. You
right.
know?
Anyway, Monster Calls. I did my rating first. I'm gonna make you go first.
That's okay. I you know, this is a little bit of a strange one too, because I had a lot of fun with it, but it's kind of off-putting and it really does, I feel, keep you in some ways at arm's length. I gave it a 7.5.
Right.
And part of that was performance based. Part of it is the real beauty, the real beautiful aesthetic that's there. The stuff with the monster is really interesting. and much more so than I think the trailer made me think it was going to be in. I thought the trailer made it look like it was only going to be maybe in like 10 minutes of the movie.
Right.
It was going to be about him and his thing and his struggles, and then he would just see.
And then suddenly the monster shows up.
But really, yeah. The monster is quite prominent, but it's not even the monster that's so interesting and engaging to me, though that stuff is beautiful. It's the lesson stories.
Right.
The three intermediate kind of segue stories. Those are, I could watch movies like looking like that all day.
Right.
Those are so beautiful. But there are some things going on with the film, and this is kind of like up my alley for the kind of stories that I like anyway, both aesthetically and narratively. Looking back on it, I almost feel like the best it could have gotten was an 8 anyway. Like, it's one of those kinds of films.
Right.
And it came close to getting that.
Right.
But I had problems with it.
All right. I gave it exactly a star more than you. I gave it 8.5.
I had to give it 8.
And I have to say, just at the very beginning, I loved this movie.
Yeah.
And okay. I was really hoping that when I was about halfway through, maybe getting close to like 3/4 of the way through,
yeah.
I was like really hoping that I could justify giving this even more.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't do it. But the movie is such a brilliantly told, like, new fairy tale.
Yeah.
That and fairy tale in like the best, most awesome, original Grimm story.
Sure.
Version of being a fairy tale.
Yeah.
Like the you know, the stories that are in the original Grimm book that you can't read to kids anymore, right? That are creepy and freaky and weird, and yet have like these awesome, you know, lessons and stories, and it's like sort of coming of age, but in a way that you're unreal in order to say realer things,
right.
You know, that is,
yes.
Part of what's awesome about sci-fi in general and fairy tales in general and comic book stories in general, you know,
yeah.
It's like throwing craziness and impossibility out there in
mm-hmm.
order to be able to look at real things. And this kid will spoil the movie in a sense,
right.
Just for purposes of being able to be quick about it. Like, the monster is just this kid's thoughts to himself the
yeah.
whole time. It's just like what he's
right.
thinking about things to himself, but he's like gets the monster there to talk to. And it's so well done
yeah.
and so well put together. And you have to think that the book this is based on is awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, the book has to be like a
amazing.
10,
right?
Right. Or else whoever adapted it was the world's biggest genius or whatever.
Right.
But the way that the story comes together, and there are problems with the movie, and unfortunately it's got the worst kind of problems for me. The worst kind of problems a movie can have for me, which is I feel like the budget abandoned it, and that's why it has a lot of problems that it has.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like this movie, a lot of things that I didn't like about it, we would have fixed, right? If we could have convinced someone to give us like another week here,
yeah,
another week there, we would have done it again, or done it differently, or shifted things,
right.
or done something. Because most of the problems that I have with it, I'm like, yeah, you wanted another take there,
yeah,
or
that's interesting, that's
or
weird.
You know, those kinds of things. And I hate it when a movie suffers from that. Like, when I'm watching a movie and I go, you know,
right.
somebody with the purse string said, nope, you're done.
Yeah. Right.
And
we can't, yeah.
We're pulling out now, make
right.
as much as you can off of it. And maybe we'll get some profit out of it,
that's
but we're
fine.
Not giving you any more money. Because that was the kind of things that were dragging me down in this movie. And I was liking so much of it, but there was some stuff where I was like, you know, if we'd had Liam Neeson for like 3 more days,
right.
And maybe like let him do this line a different way, or
yeah.
do some of this stuff differently. Or if we had, you know, as gorgeous as a lot of this movie is, there was some of it that I was like, if we, you know, if we had the department whoever, whatever company we subcontracted, I could look stuff up, I guess, but whoever was doing a lot of the special effects or something, you know, if we were like, but I want this to look this way or something like that, that was most of the problem. There were a few parts where I didn't love exactly how the dialogue came off.
Right.
And there were a few parts where, as much as I liked the kid in the movie, there were parts where I didn't like him as much as I should have.
Right.
So we just needed to let him run through it a couple more times or shoot that scene a slightly different way or something like that. And you put it all together. And to me, like I said, it just felt like this movie suffers from its budget. Somebody in charge of not letting them do stuff more.
Yeah.
Didn't help this along, and this is not Rogue One that's going to get a bunch of reshoots.
right, not at all.
And it just it was just, but at the same time, getting an 8.5 for this movie ought to be a glowing recommendation.
It was so
fun, and it was so almost like unexpectedly brutally real.
Yeah,
that like
I agree.
You don't go into this movie thinking
there's no sugarcoating.
This
Willy
is what's
Wonka,
gonna happen.
There's no
really
Willy Wonka thing here. It's strange. I actually thought you were gonna steal a little bit of the thunder when you started phrasing it the way you did, because I agree. It suffers from one very big thing, and it sucks because I think it was a little bit more manageable. But for me, it wasn't the budget. For me, it's the narrative. In a film like this where it's – well, wait, to sidestep that. The cast is great. The kid, for the most part, is great.
Yeah.
I really – for an hour and 50-minute film, again, no one's surprised at this, but for this specific film, there's about 20, maybe 25 minutes I wish were gone. I don't want it to be longer. I want it to be tighter because when they have
– I don't
room,
want it to be longer
no,
either.
You want it to just be better, like
right.
maybe even a little less. But there are – The problem for me is that the setup for the film is good and fun and interesting, and he's great at being bullied and tortured and really kind of traumatized through what his family is going through. And it makes sense in the metaphor for the monster. All these things are really working for me, despite the distraction of the narrative working, and then they break it because the monster, like a genie, shows up and has to tell you three things
right.
at weird times, and then you have to tell – like, I like the idea. I'm going to tell you three stories, and you're going to tell me one at the end. That I love. The way they did it, I didn't love. It was distracting, and it broke what I had going on with watching the film. But I hate it when they tackle things like – you know, your mom's going to die, your dad's going to die, you're going to be an orphan, what happens to you, you're still just too young to know, you're going to go live with a mean grandmother, you know, okay. But then when you start hammering that hard and you really reach for the tender moments, or you're hard, you know, you're really being aggressive at trying to make me cry, I felt that it was really trying too hard to facilitate an emotion when subtlety did better. And it got so distracting, especially more towards the end, though not the end. But the last time he's really with the monster, and there's a lot of action, and then there's like a denouement, and the kid finally tells his story. The end of that I liked, but everything leading up to that, in that 20-minute time period, I disengaged. I didn't like it at all.
Yeah.
And I just thought, you're trying too hard to make things weepy when you were working so effectively. I cared more about the kid and his struggles just by watching a 7-second transition scene earlier with bullies.
Right.
I got that kid's life. I know exactly how it feels. I feel bad for him. I'm on his side. Later, when you're making him scream things over and over, I get what you're trying to do, but it doesn't work.
Right.
And maybe in some way now I'm overlapping with what you're saying, because I didn't like the takes they used to get that to there.
Right.
And I don't have a problem with the performance he's giving. I have a problem with the director or the screenplay that's saying we have to get this.
Right.
Like it was just
and
when it was so
I agree.
Ahead of time. And that was
I agree.
So cool.
And I think too that a lot of the parts I like about the movie, I think what's interesting is that a lot of the parts I like are parts that part of me doesn't want to like.
Yeah.
Because I think there's a lot of this movie where it's trying to be through his eyes. It's trying to be like the way he experiences it. So there are parts, for example, where the bully's always looking at him in class and stuff. And like, on one hand, if you're looking at the movie thinking, is this is not real, like, right. It's overdone, right? But I think it's supposed to be. It's supposed to Maybe. Be the way it seems to him and the way he feels about it. Yeah. And there are parts where with the bad grandma he's going to have to live with.
Right.
Like, is she really like that?
Or is that
I don't think so. Yeah. I think it's the way that it seems to him. Maybe. Even when there are parts where grandma's arguing with mom and we don't really know what they're saying.
Right.
All we know is that he experiences this argument happening
right.
and his mom's involved in it. So
right.
he doesn't like that.
Right.
But then it gets to other parts in the movie where I feel like we're trying to do that same thing. Now we're not doing it well.
Right.
Now we don't have, like I said, we don't have the right take of that.
There
are parts where it goes too far then later on in the movie. Even when, you know, he's shouting at the monster,
right.
which is obviously right. just, all in his head.
I get it. Right.
right?
And I understand it. Yeah.
But it's a little bit too much, right?
Right.
It's we've gone too far. And I think, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe the director went, yep, it's exactly perfect
right.
and absolutely how I wanted everything to be. Maybe that's what happened. But it feels to me like what happened is, was it perfect that time? No. Are we allowed to do it again? No. you know
and
what I
you,
mean?
And, like, and if it is that way, I would rather, you know what's really funny, man? I would rather make my peace with the mistake of it being that budgetary, because I can
right.
forgive that. You can't, you're out of time. You don't have the money. I'm sorry.
Right.
Then the flip side, which is something that we used to, you know, we've used it as an example, even though it's a few years old now. Zero Dark Thirty, when Jessica Chastain finally explodes at some CIA
right,
guy,
right,
she's
right.
screaming at him, and people are like, this is amazing. You're like, it isn't. It's just she's loud.
Right, right.
Like, you think it's amazing because she's doing, like, this Serpico, like, I'm screaming my lines, and now you got to believe what I'm saying. You know, no.
Right.
And in this, if that's the way they chose to do it and they didn't have budgetary concerns, now you're just making me bad.
Right.
You don't do it that way.
Then it's just bad.
Right.
I
erred on the side of bad. It just didn't feel like the rest of it.
Like I said, I could be wrong, but that's how it felt when I was watching it. And, you know, the thing is, when people go to movies, you don't think about stuff like that. And you shouldn't think about stuff like that because you have to judge the movie that you're watching.
Right.
And it doesn't matter what happened
right.
or whatever. But that's just the world that movies are made in. That's how it happens, right? There's lots of stuff that happens that way where it's like, look, these are the days you have, right?
Make it. Yeah.
These are the mornings of sunlight that you have.
Yeah.
You're out of them.
Right. Done.
So whatever happened.
I'll tell you what a fun.
But still, it was. I still had a lot of fun
when
with it.
When it worked, I had so much fun with it. And when it started, I was so interested in it because, strangely, and it doesn't even have the same thing going on, but it reminded me of the Babadook.
Oh, yeah. Right,
and
right.
I think partially just because of the gray palette it had. But it just the feel of it, the briskness and the kid and I was interested in it. And then when the monster showed up, it was great. But those, I just wish it had been edited up a bit different.
Right. There are parts where it's clearly too much. And then what's weird is you wouldn't, if you were looking at this through a lens of showing it to kids, you wouldn't mind so much because it's
right.
like for
right.
kids, you'd go, well, but
way,
it's for kids.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, you have to go, well, but what kid's Wait. Watching this? Because you just scare the hell out of them. Right. And we're not going to start another movie. We'll
save it.
We'll wrap things up. We'll save that for next week when we're really kind of doing a more rapid fire run
right.
through a bunch of movies. But I will say this about this movie. When this movie was over, my wife said, this movie sucks, and she hates it and doesn't want to talk about it again.
Right.
And that is as glowing an endorsement for
right.
this movie as you could ever get,
right?
right? Because by the time the movie's over, it's sad and it's awful and it's like Phoebe watching Old Yeller
right.
for the first time and
right.
actually seeing the ending.
right, yeah.
Because this is not like a happy movie, but man, it at least to some extent, it does what it's trying to do
yes.
pretty well and gets there in the end to where you hate it. And that's why it's good.
I was so excited for La La Land because I had watched A Monster Calls. I had watched Manchester by the Sea. I watched Patriot's Day. And then I watched
And you had like the suicide hotline on speed dial.
I watched Lion, and I'm like,
oh, yeah.
When's it going to get better?
Right.
When the hell is the world going to get happy again? That was an interesting series.
We
of
need
films
a lot more
back.
Comedies
yeah,
mixed
right.
into that.
Right.
And unfortunately,
so that
that's,
was where
that's
I was
not
at.
Oscar season.
No,
right?
That was a
so.
Rough. That was a rough couple of days.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right.
Yeah. Next week. I mean, I can't believe we're at Rogue One.
I remember
just a few months ago thinking, December, that's so far away. And then I remember last year going, what the hell? We got to wait a whole year. And now it's like in 3 days.
Right.
So, wow.
Despite the fact that it's coming up soon, the initial critical response that people have been allowed to say, which has not been much, has been very positive.
Yeah. Okay.
Everybody likes it. Who's seen it, there's been all kinds of positive talk about it, even though it's like very limited number of critics who have even still
anybody.
Been allowed to see it. So it's not like it's taken over the internet
right.
or anything. But I will say this, as excited as I am for it finally being Rogue One week and all that, I'm still pissed that we had to watch the trailer last year.
Yeah. Right.
That still irritates me.
It was
like Christmas or something
was,
or whatever
it was. Time last year. I mean, we
and
were
it was like,
see,
hey, Rogue One,
guess what?
Year from now.
December.
Like, what?
Yeah. I'm like, that's a bunch of crap.
Don't make me watch that. Anyway, so next week will be Rogue One plus I'm gonna say like 4 or 5 movies probably.
Yeah,
who knows? Whatever
right.
it will be. And the next few weeks will be like
hopefully
that.
Maybe Rogue One will be an hour and a half all by itself. You'll hate it. I'll love it.
And then we'll have to talk about that. That'll be the whole show. We move right on to the next movie.
Yeah, I guess. All right.
All right. That's enough time with us today. Thanks for tuning in. And we'll be back next week, as we said, with Rogue One and a bunch of other stuff. Thanks for listening. Please, please share. Rate us on iTunes. Subscribe to us on iTunes. And otherwise, trick your friends into listening to us. Thanks.
Bye.